Good morning, everybody. So we've been working our way through Genesis, and we've been breaking it up in the Toldots. And last week we took a look at the Tower of Babel, and then we took a look at from the genealogy from Shem all the way to Terah. And we said that there were basically the first four Toldots took like 2,000 years, and now the patriarchal section is going to be really, it's only going to cover about 350 years. So we're definitely kind of slowing way down, and we said that we were going to take a look at Abram, and that there's 18 narratives that deal with the life of Abram. And so the patriarch of Israel, right? Abraham. But for right now, we're going to call him Abram. So let's go ahead and turn to Genesis 11, kind of where we left off. We left off at 26. When Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Verse 27, this is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. Haran died in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldeans, while his father Terah was still alive. And Abram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son's Abram's wife, and with them he set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. When they came to Haran, they settled there. The lifetime of Terah was 205 years, and he died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, and that, it's like, well, let's take a look at the background. So we've got this background that's introducing people and a little bit of tension. What do we see in there that is some tension? We've been noting the different problems in each of the narratives that usually come right in the beginning. What's one of the things that we see? A little detail about one of the characters that just got introduced into the story. Sarai. What? Not only does it say she's barren, it then says, and she's got no children. So just in case, you know, yeah, okay, there's no kids. There is no kids. And we get that detail and we think, okay. And yes, we cue the foreshadowing music. Let's keep that in mind. So we're gonna be looking for what's going on there. There's also some other little details that I thought, that's interesting. So Terah takes his sons, right? And he takes a grandson. How come? Lot's dad died. So, you know what? Grandpa grabs grandson. Okay. And so they move. And it says that when they came to Haran, they settled there. Okay. And we also see that the lifetime of Terah was 205 years. And he died in Haran. Yeah, okay, Dan. Well, hold on to that thought. And then we start in chapter 12. And remember, right, the chapter, the numbering of all the Bible was way later. And it was just some people putting some numbers in just for our convenience. It's not because it actually necessarily was different. It's all part of this narrative. Now the Lord said to Abram, and most of you have the ESV, and there's a little footnote there, right, in the ESV. And what does that little footnote say about the text right here? Or had said. Well, okay, so they're not sure exactly how to translate the scripture right here. So it's either now the Lord said or now the Lord had said to Abram. And, okay, Dan, does it really matter? Well, I think it does. And why does it matter? Well, let's go ahead and let's turn to Acts chapter 7. And we're gonna read now. This is Stephen's defense before the council. And so Stephen is, as we remember, he's about to get stoned, but he's got the opportunity to speak to the council that's judging him, and he's going to lay out a little bit of history. So who's got Acts 7, 2 through 4 that can read for me? Debbie.
Then Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, go out from your land and from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into this land in which you are now living."
Okay, so 2,000 years ago, Stephen was really certain when God appeared to Abram, and it said when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. So God appeared to Abram before they moved out. And here we're reading, and it's giving the account, and it finished back in Genesis 11. When they came to Haran, they settled there. The lifetime of Terah was 205 years, and he died in Haran. And then we have the now the Lord, and it's like, well, yeah, okay. Scripture would be contradicting itself if the now in 12 was like sequential. But okay, I don't think most scholars even are trying to say that, because like we just read in chapter 10, we had a bunch of listing of 70 tribes, 70 different tribes, nations, whatnot, and then we kind of did a little jump back to Babel. And so the narrative didn't, remember, it's not always sequential. As a matter of fact, in Genesis, it's often not sequential, right? So we just covered in 10 and 11 that we had this huge time span of the 70 nations, but then in chapter 11, we jump in partway into the story and go, okay, well, no, here's the Tower of Babel. And we don't actually have an exact time frame for that. So if we take a look here, we see that Terah grabbed the family and they move up to Haran and they settled there. And then Terah died in Haran. And just by the way, the book that I was reading and going, taking a lot of great stuff from, Creation and Blessing, the guy's name is Alan Ross. He says that, okay, well, this information here in this section is really parenthetical to the main narrative. And, well, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to say, you know what? I don't think so. And I'm going to suggest that the next three verses are actually a flashback in time, because now the Lord had said, and so it's just recounting what the Lord had said to Abram back when they were in Ur of the Chaldeans. And then in verse 4, it's going to pick up from verse 32. Now, yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, Kelly.
Well, it says that they were supposed to go into the land of Canaan. That's in 11:31.
But it also says in 31 that they got to Haran and they settled there.
Yeah. So it doesn't sound like they did what they were supposed to do.
Huh. Someone's paying attention. You know what? Yeah. And by the way, Terah's name means delay. Huh. Things that make you go, hmm. So, hold on to that. And no matter what the exact timing that's going on here, let's take a look at the next three verses and let's see what did God promise Abram. Regardless of exactly the timing that we're not positive on, but we are positive that this is what the Lord said, and so I don't want to take anything away from that. 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go out from your country, your relatives, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Then I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, so that you will exemplify divine blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but the one who treats you lightly, I must curse. And all the families of the earth will be blessed one another by your name. So Abram left, just as the Lord told him to do. So yeah, I'm asserting that 1 through 3 happened in Mesopotamia, and then we pick up in verse 4 at the time-wise at the end of verse 32. When Haran died. So, but regardless of the timing, what did God say? And let's just look at this slowly. I mean, it seems pretty straightforward, but let's dig into it a little bit. Get out from your country. Get you out. It's an imperative, it's an instruction to Abram. Go do this, get out. Well, get out from where? From your land, from your kindred, and from your father's house. So, and where the heck is he going? to the land I will show you. That's kind of nebulous. And that's that's what he was given. And you know what? We're told throughout Scripture, and we're reminded of Abram's faith. And he didn't, like, you know, call up days in. He didn't get a reservation up ahead. Yeah, he didn't rent an Airbnb place. No. Uh-uh. Go from your land. Go from your kindred and from your father's house. Go. Okay, God, where? Go. It's the land I'll show you. And there's three things there. And then what is God? What's going to happen if he does that? I will make you into a great nation. Who'll make him into a great nation? God. God will make him into a great nation. God says, and I'll bless you. And I'll make your name great. So that you will be a blessing. That you will be a blessing. Wait, so there's actually two parts to this Abrahamic covenant that God's putting out there. Go, and go those three things, and go be a blessing. Go, and I'll do this, and go be a blessing. And then God goes on and says, I will bless those that bless you. And I'll have to curse those that curse you. And by you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And it's like, huh. So, Abram, you go do this. Leave the three. And I'll do this. And you be a blessing. It's that imperative. It's not just, oh yeah, you'll be a blessing. No, go be a blessing. And then I'll do. And yet, it kind of sounds like a repeat, but okay, when he's going to go be a blessing, it doesn't talk about land, right? Or it doesn't talk about making others a great nation. It's God will bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and then you'll, by your being a blessing, you will be a blessing to all the families of your local region. The whole earth. The whole earth. So let's take a look at Abram's response. So in verse 4. So Abram left, just as the Lord had told him to do, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they left for the land of Canaan. They entered the land of Canaan. Abram traveled through the lands as far as the oak tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So Abram built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he moved from there to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and worshiped the Lord. Abram continually journeyed by stages down to the Negev. And I actually tried to read that a little more boring, kind of like we often frequently just kind of blow through scripture and read it because we don't really know what's going on, so we just kind of read through it. But what do you guys notice of Abram's response in that boring little passage that I just read? He was obedient to God. What kind of dialogue does Abram give us? Oh, all right. There's no dialogue from Abram. So if there's no dialogue, then what are we supposed to focus on for that section? Well, what were the verbs that, what was going on in that part? What do we see? If it's not dialogue, it must be the action. So what kind of verbs do we see? Went, departed, set out. Okay. So in verse 4, it says that he went. Verse 5, to go. In 9, it talked about journeyed to. By the way, in verse 1, the get out, and all of those other actions that were translated differently, the base verb in the Greek that is sort of spelled like that, but with the other little tildes and things, but it's the same base verb. It's the same base action. And so what is that stressing? If you were Hebrew and you were hearing it, God commanded something, and then in the following section, three times the same verb is used, and it was mentioned that, yeah, this is showing Abram's obedience. That the whole thing, okay, God commands, and then let's see what happens. Well, he's obedient. And we don't catch that in our read, but so Abraham left just as the Lord told him to do, and Lot went with him. Now, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, so we know how old he was. And Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they left for the land of Canaan. The people they had acquired. What's going on there?
Some disobedience. Isn't he supposed to leave everything?
The other people weren't his family, they were his people. Right. So I heard slaves, and that would be a reasonable guess. And so I dug into that a little bit more. And there's like better words used. There's better Hebrew words for slaves that weren't used in that passage. So it doesn't specify exactly who they are, but if they're not slaves and they're people that he'd acquired, well, how do you acquire people? Well, and what is Abram supposed to do? He's supposed to be a blessing. Well, and how's he supposed to do that, and what does he do? not only does he be a blessing by just building an altar, well, what if he's also preaching, like telling people about Yahweh and God? Huh. Well, then, if that would be the case, then this might be some people interested. Some, converts. Some people curious. Yeah, it isn't just him, Sarai, Lot. There are more people traveling with them. Absolutely. And there definitely would have to be people working for him. Oh, and I absolutely am not trying to protect Abram. But in this passage, they didn't use the word for slaves. And that was curious. They didn't use that word. It's like, huh. Were they all just hired help? Certainly he would have had to have some help with them. And Gabriel's right that in later time, he definitely has more people with him. When he picked all those people up, I don't know. It doesn't say, and I'm not trying to, I don't know for sure, but I just found it interesting. So if we pick up in verse 6, verse 5, they entered the land of Canaan. Abram traveled through the lands as far as the oak tree of Moreh at Shechem. Well, okay. So are they just specifying that he went to a tree? And a specific spot? Well, okay. So the oak of Moreh, and Moreh is the word for teaching at Shechem. So more than likely, he went to a place of teaching in the Canaanite land. And it says, at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Boom, 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 boom. Right? He's not alone. So he goes to the place where they're used to worshiping their local god, the oak of teaching at Shechem. And what does he do? He's just silent. He's just hanging out. Well, no, that's not what it says. And it says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give what? This land. Oh, well, before he was just told to go and God's going to show him. Well, now it's this land. And so Abram responds and built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So that was just probably like a little teeny altar, right? So he goes to the house of the place of teaching in a foreign land, and he sets up an altar and he worships God, and he knows that he was already instructed that he needs to be a blessing to people around, and I don't think he was quiet. I don't think he was a quiet, bashful guy, and even if you thought he was quiet, he is moving with some people and some herds and whatnot, and there was a commotion, and he let the folks know what he was doing there. And the Lord appeared to him and said, you know, this land. It wasn't the unknown place. And he responds and he builds an altar. And as we continue on in verse 8, then he moved from there to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and worshiped the Lord. So wherever he's going, he's worshiping the Lord. He is calling on the name of the Lord. He's not quiet. He is really the first evangelist. He is the first guy telling people about this Yahweh, this Elohim. Who the heck is God? And that's what he was doing. Oh, and in verse 8, there, it specifies that there he built an altar to the Lord and worshiped the Lord in, I'm going to switch over to ESV, and we have, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. He called upon the name of the Lord. Well, that name of the Lord, just a little bit ago in the narratives, the people at Babel were building their tower to do what? To make a name for themselves. And they wanted to make a name, and it's the same term here. He called, Abram called on the name of himself? No, on the name of the Lord. So he is busy being an evangelist, being a preacher, and telling about God. Telling about this new God. There's so many things that tie back and forth. And of course, this narrative is given later, all the names and the terminology, the places and stuff weren't necessarily named at that moment, right? Abram is just cruising a land. But some of the names that were used in the narrative might not have even been there when he was there, but this is what they were come to be called. But yeah, there's just so much here that references later, and that's why we want to know what was going on, and I certainly wasn't trying to paint Abram as this awesome dude, because man, the Bible is so filled with messed up people that it gives us great encouragement. And in verse 9, and Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. And he continually journeyed. He made it his practice. He wasn't just hanging out. He was moving. And that's what it's talking about. And really, this whole section is really showing Abram's faith is demonstrated by his obedience. That's why you've got the three verbs following the same base verb. Okay. And what was he being obedient about? Right? God said, get out from the land, from your kindred, from your father's house to the land I'll show you. Do that. And I think in verse 4, after dad passed, Abram says, okay. And he was obedient, and that's when he started cruising, when he started obeying. Was he in obedience even when he went up to Haran? I don't think so. But you know what? That would be, that's tremendous faith. And it's easy for us to look at stuff, especially a passage, and think, okay, there's a command, there's obedience, and we forget about the whole time passing. And I'm suggesting, yeah, did it take Abram a little while to be obedient? Yeah, I think so. And we're going to see, I said that there were like 18 narratives in this section. We're going to see Abram's obedience and his not so obedient. It was the major travel route. And so certainly guessing you would naturally go up there to go to Canaan. But for sure, it says in verse 31 that they settled there. Lots of times, you know, we blow through the scripture and, oh yeah, well, that's just, it's just little details. Well, but they mean something. And it's when you start digging into it that you go, oh, wait, they settled there. Were they supposed to settle? Go to the land that I'll show you. Maybe he thought it was Haran. But he certainly was cruising with his father. And the third point was from your father's house, and he was clearly with his father. I don't know any other way to get around that it's like, well, I wasn't obedient yet. But I am so glad that God doesn't demand instant obedience, because, yeah, it's kind of like when you get correction from a spouse or a loved one. All of us hear it and welcome it, right? Oh, yeah, let me do that. Well, okay, God, and here, at least in when he was in Canaan, it says the Lord appeared to him. We don't even know when this promise was made, if he just got the word from God in, you know, a dream, a vision. We don't know, but we know that when he was in the land and when he was being obedient, the Lord appeared to him. You can be a little fuzzy about some direction, but you know, when God appears to you and says, hey, I'm going to give you this land, you can rest assured that God's going to give you this land. After Christmas, after New Year's, we're going to take a look at the next section. But the next section just starts out, now there was a famine in the land. Cue ominous music. So this next narrative, there's a problem. There's a famine. What's going to happen? Well, I realize we're a little early, but that's okay. You're allowed to stay here for a little bit and talk to one another. And as long as we do it, not louder than when they were singing to us at the beginning, right? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for examples that we have. Thank you for Abram's obedience. Don't want to make light of his obedience and what tremendous faith it must have took to get up, uproot everybody, and go be obedient. Lord, help us to have that kind of heart, that when we know your word, we go do it. And we don't have to wait for visions and dreams and for you to speak to us directly, because you have. You've given us your word. Help us to want to dig into the word and to study it more and to understand what's going on. And most of all and worst of all, help us to apply it to our lives. Help me to just apply your word to my life. When the Holy Spirit knocks me upside the head and says, go do this, and you've revealed it in your word, help me to be obedient. And Lord, as the holiday season puts us around relatives and people, so many times, people that don't know you, help us to show them you. Help us to be a blessing to them by not just being a silent Christian, but to show you off, to talk about you, to talk about how you've worked in our lives. Help us to do that even today. Amen.